Colossians chapter 3. You know, we all suffer as a Christian. We're in an evil world, and we're in a world that is in rebellion against God, and we suffer. Now, we don't suffer. I don't know of anybody that suffers like other people have suffered, being tied to a stake and being set on fire for Christ or the Word of God. I don't know of anybody that's ever suffered like that, or be thrown in prison and starved and whipped and beat for the cause of Christ. But we suffer. We suffer in these bodies because of sin. We suffer every day. We have pains. We have suffering some kind. We suffer when we see loved ones in pain. We suffer when we see our children, our parents, or our grandchildren suffer. We suffer. And this world brings suffering. But it not only just to Christians, it does to everybody, because of the sinful world that we're in, because of Adam and their sufferings out there. I want to talk to you about not so much your suffering, but your reward someday. And I just wanted you to realize that your reward is not based upon how much you suffer. Now, you got to think about that. If it's based upon our suffering, would the people that got stoned, that was put in a vat of boiling oil and let down in it alive, and they be boiled in oil, would they have more reward than we would? Who suffers more? The one that's set on fire, being burnt to death, or boiled in oil, or us? Come on, folks. I'd say they are suffering more, wouldn't you? Or to see your family and take poison snakes and watch them in a sack and put it over the heads of your children or your husband or your wife and put it over their heads and tie it around their throat. To me, that'd be suffering, wouldn't it? For the cause of Christ and the Word. Well, I would say they would have more reward than the average person that only suffered like we normally suffer. We live in and I thank God for the United States. I thank the Lord that I was born in America, where I have the freedom and the privilege to stand and preach the gospel of Christ without fear of retaliation against me. I thank God for that freedom that I have, that I can go to my home and I can read my Bible. I can talk about the Lord. I can go out on the street and I meet people, and if I talk, and I can talk to them about the Lord. I thank God for that freedom. And what people fail to realize, there were a lot of men and women that gave their lives so that you could do that. I thank God that I don't have somebody telling tell me and you how to raise our children and how to do this and how to do that. We live in a great nation today, and we ought to thank God for it. You're not living in a society where you're have a gun pointed at you all the time or be afraid that they're going to come into your home at any time. And we have laws and we have freedoms that were given to us. A lot of countries don't have. But people that do all suffered, and you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you find out how bad that they did suffer just for reading the Scriptures. They would come into their homes, and if they found the Scripture there, they would be tortured and they would be took out, many of them killed. We don't have that fear. I would say they would receive a greater reward if our rewards were based solely upon suffering. Now, I believe they'll have a great reward for suffering, but I'm not saying it's not just based on suffering. Your reward is based on something else. Look with me in this passage. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed. Now that word whatsoever, what do you reckon it means? What does whatsoever mean? What does whatever mean? It means all, don't it? Is anything left out of whatsoever? Then it wouldn't be whatsoever. That had to be June. Thought somebody was smothering somebody back there. My question is to June. Did you do it in the name of the Lord? Whatsoever. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Come down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. When he's talking about whatsoever ye do, he's talking about working, isn't he? He's talking about doing something, working. He said, and not unto men. Do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now, verse 24. Knowing this, knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons. Now, I want you to notice in verse 23, and that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. The reward of the inheritance. Now I want you to look back. Then there's a reward of the inheritance. Turn over to 2 Timothy and look in 2 Timothy. And I say that we suffer. And we all suffer. Now notice in 2 Timothy 2. He says there, notice in verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. All right, then there's a glory that's associated with this salvation. Now notice what he said. I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Do you realize everybody suffers trouble as an evildoer if he believes in Paul's gospel that he calls my gospel? That's what his gospel was. He said, wherein, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Now, why is that? The gospel that Paul said is my gospel is that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that God raised him the third day. And Romans 4:23 says, for your justification. Romans 4:25. Then it's my gospel. Christ died for your sins. Every one of them. Not some of them. All of them. Everything has been paid for. And Paul said, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. And so will you. Do you look upon the religious systems of this world looks upon this place as evil? They look upon this place, they call it a cult. They look upon this place, they say you're a heretic. You're a hyper-dispensationalist. You're all of these names that they call you. You suffer trouble as an evildoer. Why? They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Religion perverts it, changes it. They'll preach the death, burial, resurrection, but then they'll turn around and make it of none effect by adding, you've got to repent, you've got to do this, you must be baptized, you've got to live a life, you either want to be saved and live like you're saved or you're not saved. And we're in that kind of situation. We suffer as evil people because the world and the religious system and the mystery of iniquity is in direct rebellion against the truth of what Paul brings out in Romans through Philemon. And Romans through Philemon is to the body of Christ, and it's the doctrine for you to live by. It's the where you find salvation at, and it's where you find the gospel of Christ at, and it's nowhere else. Why? It was revealed to the Apostle Paul, but when you preach and teach that and you stand for that, then you're in rebellion with the religious system and you're opposed to them and they're opposed to you and they call you evil. No good. But look on. Verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead for him. Did I miss a word there? What did it say? For him? No. It says, if we be dead with him. Now, with, you know why? With him is different than for him. Right? Do you know how I know that? Spelt different. Means different. With him, you're together. For him, cause. For is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live for him. Oh, with him. Now, where would that be at? Wherever he's at. if we suffer. Now, you notice in verse 11, he talks about being dead with him, living with him. If we suffer, why would it change to four? Look on. If we suffer, we shall also reign for him, with him. Well, would the suffering of verse 12 be with him or for him? Now, all around him is with him. Why would you say for him there? Look back in Romans chapter 8. Hang on to Timothy and come back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, folks, I don't want you to leave out here and say you won't suffer. You will suffer, and suffering plays a part. I guarantee you, most of you know what I'm talking about. Most people that come out of the religious system suffer before. Their families reject them and everything else, and it's hard on them. You go against the grain. You go against that religion that they've been taught all the years, and they can't understand it, and they wonder what's going on with you. You're in some kind of mess. So you'll suffer. But I'm talking about reign. I'm talking about reward. It's not solely based on your suffering. Look at Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says in verse 16. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right, then how does the Spirit bear witness? Some dark corner through the words of the Bible. I know I'm a son of God because I meet what the Bible says. The Bible tells me that if I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. The Bible says, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have eternal life. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Jesus Christ. I'm saved because of what the Bible says, not because of what I felt something. I'm saved because of what God did and said. Now look what he said. And if children of God, then heirs of God, if saved, are you an heir of God? Joint heirs with Christ, then do you have an inheritance? Look what he says, with Christ. If so be that we suffer for him. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's the glory. Well, where in the world do you ever would suffer with Christ? Let me ask you this. Turn back to Colossians and hang on to Romans. Look back in Colossians. You'll have 2 Timothy. You're going to get Colossians and you have Romans 8. Look in Colossians. Notice in chapter 1, verse 24. I'm going to read the latter part of verse 23. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Did Paul fill up the afflictions? Yes, he did. could Christ suffer anymore? Jesus Christ went to the cross. Did he suffer? Yes. He's put in a tomb, resurrected. Can't suffer no more, folks. But somebody with the good news of the gospel that Paul calls my gospel, Paul was sent out and with that message, and he filled up the sufferings of Christ, which Christ could not suffer no more, but whoever carried this message out was going to suffer, and Paul completed it and filled it up. Christ can't suffer no more. Christ is glorified. Christ is in heaven right now. There is no suffering that he can do. So who suffers for him? The body suffers in preaching this message. The body of Christ suffers in standing for this message. But Christ can't suffer. So where did you suffer with him? You're suffering for him right now, but where did you suffer with him? Right here. You suffered with him, you died with him, you were buried with him, and you were raised with him. That's why you have an inheritance. The suffering of verse 17, if so be. In other words, you are an heir and a joint heir with Christ if you've suffered with him. And by suffering with him, you recognize that you died at Calvary with him and you suffered with him. And the sufferings that he was going through is what you should have been going through. And God put it to your account. I've suffered for my sins. Where at? Physically? No. In Christ. And I have an inheritance. And that reward. So I don't suffer to get a reward. I'm not like the man that takes a whip and beats himself this time of year till the blood's running out of his back, chastising himself for Christ. I'm not like them that go over there and they believe it, the more they suffer, and so they bring torture upon themselves and they crawl on their hands and their knees for miles on rocks, blood running out of their knees and their hands to get to some idol in a temple somewhere, a Christ where the Virgin Mary and all that stuff they talk about, and they're suffering for Christ to get a reward. No. My reward is going to be based upon what I do and the motive behind what I do. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, back in Timothy, notice in Timothy, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And I've never looked at that verse until I really got to studying about it. Folks, anybody that will deny the gospel of Christ and the sufferings that went on their behalf, God's going to deny them one day. And there'll be no glory for them. They're not joint heirs with Christ. they're not heirs of God. People that deny the finished work of Christ, that is all that is needed, will someday have their own glory in the lake of fire. Now turn to 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians. And notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Come down to verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God Almighty is the main one. I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're nothing. We just plant and water, but it's God that gives the increase. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But it's how Jesus Christ is preached. And that's the key. He is the foundation. But the foundation for the body of Christ has to do with what Paul calls my gospel. And this gospel has to do with him dying for all your sins. But there is other people that was preaching Jesus Christ had died, and God had raised him, and had raised him to sit upon the throne of David. That's another gospel. But it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But it's how you preach him. It's how you believe him. It's how you teach him. Now look what he says. He said, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, singular, then there is work. I'm just going to put one day, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and there are work. Not works. My sins as a sinner. I was judged back here as a sinner. My sins were put upon him, judged. Judgment brought wrath, penalties. I was judged. I'm going to be judged over here as a servant. How I served after I got saved. My service to the Lord. My work that I do. That's how what I'm going to face at the judgment seat of Christ. Now look. He said what he said. Every man's work shall be manifest. For the day I'll declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. My work shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not the mount. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then he stands to lose reward over here, because if his work doesn't meet, go through the fire. That you couldn't get more simpler than that. What is it? What is the work that Paul, in the context? Huh? Look back in verse 7. So then neither he that planteth, or verse 6, I have planted Apollos what? Water. Verse 7, so then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. The labor is work, and it's planting and watering. That's it. That's all you're going to, it's planting. What are you planting? You're planting the seed of the word. You're planting the gospel to sinners. You're getting the gospel out. That's a work to so people can be saved. But wait a minute. What about those that are saved? Then you plant the seed, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. God would have the body to bring the body into unity. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part of the body, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Back in there, he said in verse, he gives pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look back in chapter 3. In chapter 3, he said, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the things that are not written down, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And in Timothy, he said that God would have all men to be saved, that's by the gospel, and come unto the knowledge of the truth, that's by right division, and the truth is the Paul's epistles, our Romans through Philemon, and it's your job to sow the seed to people that are saved so that they'll see a difference in Paul's ministry and Peter's ministry, and they'll bring them into the true knowledge of the truth. And that's where we really fall down. This Bible, your work is planting and watering. Planting as a servant to get people saved and to get other members of the body of Christ to see the truth of Paul's ministry, to bring them unto the knowledge of the truth. That's it. Your reward is going to be based upon you doing this. And as a son, The word adoption is not like adoption that we know today, where a child is another person's child is taken in by somebody else and made that, and they make that child their own. That's not biblical adoption. Biblical adoption is they're already a child. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. If you want biblical adoption, here it is. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now you can't apply that to the book of the Ephesians. Nor can you apply that to yourself. Because we wasn't under no law, and that law wasn't teaching us nothing. We didn't even know the law. But they did. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that in. Verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now notice back, verse 1, now I say that the heir, you are an heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, he's counted as a servant. He's a heir, he's a son, but he's counted as a servant. Until, and he's under tutors and governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the law, the world. And he came and to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, when that child became of age, became a full grown, he was placed in the household as an adult, a full grown child. That was his adoption. The word adoption really means the placing of a son. Do you know what it is when you got the Lord? Comes when the body is complete and the Lord comes back, he's going to change your vile body and place you out in the inheritance as full-grown sons and daughters. What is keeping you right now from being a full-grown son? What is keeping you from being placed in the household of God out there? Your body. That's the adoption. Your reward, based upon a servant, a son, you'll be placed out in the heavens. And there, rule and reign with him. It's not about your suffering that gets that. It's about your work. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. Shake hands with one another and you can go. I forgot.